Hello, everyone. This is Chris Chico, and welcome to today's REI Vault Huddle Call. Today is Tuesday, April 7th. And on this call today, Gary is out of town this week, and so I will be only on the call. I should have Steve coming on board, helping me with the call in the next few minutes. He's on another call. He's actually with me. And so just a couple quick, couple bases is, right now the call is on question and answer mode. You can hit star 5 to raise your hand and star 5 again to unraise your hand. And if you, as far as asking a question, I will open up the line at the end, just so open, open format, and then the call is scheduled to last an hour. However, though, if we don't have questions or any dialogue, then it may end sooner. If you need any help with your campaigns, marketing, Podio, or anything else that's technical, anything really outside of deals, would be to send an email to support@salesteamlive.com, support@salesteamlive.com. Deal help at reivault.com. If you need help on deals, send the information regarding deals that you need help with, along with a link to the Podio, to the lead inside of Podio, so that we can help in answering your deal questions. And on our end, you know, I know we always get an update on things. On my end, hold on a second. Sorry about that. I had to let Steven into the office. So why don't you say hello to everyone, Steve?
Hello, everyone.
So, you know, the one thing I was going to mention to them, Steve, just kind of an update, and I think we just had this discussion on the three deals that we just discussed right now, was on pricing. And I think that the last couple of times that we, on the last few deals that we had, we really had, I think we were too aggressive on pricing, by that meaning that we were asking way too much. And I think then that extended our time frame. And then all of a sudden now we had a situation where we have to, like, hurry at the very end.
Scramble.
Any comments you want to make about that?
The comments, basically, being overly aggressive on the pricing is a double-edged sword. If you don't price it correctly, you're giving it away. If you price it too high, nobody looks at it. So I like to, you know, go with the higher price, of course, because you never know. There's been too many deals that we did that the people paid prices that we couldn't even imagine they would pay. But, of course, the most recent ones in our memory are the ones that I'm running around like a lunatic trying to button up the deal at the last minute. Who we got here? Who are we talking to?
I'm going to go ahead and open up the line, Steve.
Okay.
So, actually, that was the main thing I wanted to just chat about today. So what I'm going to do is have a call here from Haynes available. So I'm going to go ahead and click on here for Haynes. Haynes, you're on the line.
How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Doing great.
What do you got today for us?
I've been in the program 3 months and looking for my first deal, and just sent off 5 pre-sale offers the last 2 or 3 days. So I'm optimistic, but any help you can offer, we sure need a deal pretty badly here.
How many, tell me about as far as the total number of leads that you have come in. You're in the I wouldn't say what market you're in, but as far as the total number of leads that you've had come in, what would you say that number would be over the last, you said 3 months, right?
I keep up with Podio and then the calls that leave a voicemail. I don't know, Podio now, I've got about 20 calls, I guess, 20 names, something like that. I'd say probably only 8 or 10 of them are viable leads right now, as we've sort of followed through on the folks as of right now.
You talk about 20 over the course of 3 months?
20 that's left on Podio.
Oh, I see. So out of all the calls that have called in, you've sifted and sorted, eliminated the ones that you think are not really that great, or perhaps are not prospects, and then now you've come down to about 20 people that might have something there, or may not. Is that
right,
accurate?
Yeah, okay. I'd say, let me see, we have about 20 on Podio, and some of these are not viable at all. No, I'm just going with what's on Podio.
Have you come close to anything that maybe that was a deal, and maybe for whatever happened, circumstances or situation didn't allow you to get the deal, or is it just?
Well, I had one that verbally accepted the deal. In fact, he came up with the price, and it was a triplex, but then he backed out because he said he didn't want to pay the capital gains taxes. And so I'm going to talk back to him later, you know, about making payments to him is what Gary suggested. Anyway, I've just made these five pre-sale offers. So maybe some of these will come through here. I'm hopeful.
Well, on the people that you've spoken with, what has your experience been with them? In other words, are they just the pricing isn't that great? Is there a situation where there's lack of motivation, or giving some sort of insight as far as the people that you know that you've been dealing with, and maybe some of the challenges you've been experiencing with us.
Let me see. I had one that the price was way too high. Although we had an offer, but we were going to wholesale, but the wholesale I sent over there, But we're going back and offered to work with them at a lower price, and they haven't gotten back to us in the last few days. That would be one. I've got one lady that we sent an offer, and she's pre-sale offer, and she's not ready. So we've got one that we just sent a pre-sale offer. We've talked several times before that, and he wants retail, and we're in the process of that he's not going to get retail from us. He's not going to get it from anybody, really, after he pays commissions.
And have you done, in the market that you're in right now, have you done deals previously?
Oh, yeah. I buy REOs all the time.
I see.
So I've been doing that. I've been doing that for about 6 years.
I mean, what I can offer you is this. I mean, I can give you general advice, but general advice can only take us so far, right?
Right.
And if your experience and the general advice that I would give you is probably not something that you've heard before, I don't think. You know, that's to say, assuming that we're doing everything right. You know, we're doing the right follow-up, and we're being, you know, diligent with the lead follow-up. The only thing I can offer you is that allow me a day or so to go into your campaign and get a better feel for the numbers. You know, what are the total number of mailers that we sent out, how many total calls you've done, and see if, number one, is whether or not the numbers look the right, if there's any issues that I see there with the numbers. And also I'll go through some of the leads that you have already in Podio and maybe kind of look through the activity and see what I see. Because the thing is, I could give you general advice, but in the end, it's just guesswork, right? So I'd rather look into it and then give you, you know, more, a better perspective. So if you could allow me the opportunity, I wouldn't be able to do that today, but certainly by tomorrow, I'll review that. I'll shoot you an email and give you kind of what I think is going on, and take it from there. But I think that it would be better for me to do that on your accounts to get a better handle.
Oh, that'd be great. Fantastic.
Okay. So I'll do that. I'll make a note of it here to do that, and then I'll follow up with you on that.
Parker, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
This is Steve, by the way. Now, some of the deals that you sent pre-sales out, or the ones that you're not getting, are you far apart on price with the people, or are you $5,000 away?
I will just say the pre-sales I've just sent, one, we're far apart, but I sent a pre-sale anyway, The second one did not give me a price, but I suspect my playoff will be far apart. The third one, I think I'll be pretty close. And the fourth one, my offer is probably a bit high, but that I don't really think the numbers will even work.
What I'm getting at is when you're setting up when you're talking to the seller and you're setting up the deal, as far as everybody knows, I have to get everything approved by the guys that fund me, okay? Not every deal, but some of the ones that are tough, like, listen, I'm going to try my best, and I got to talk to my guys at the office and see if they'll do it. So I'm going to write it up for 120, for example, but I'm telling you right now, I'm going to fight for you because I want to get it done. But reality is the original number I gave you might be the number it has to be. And sometimes when they go through the rigmarole, by the time it comes down to it and you hit them with the, listen, you might have to wait till the closing, you know, a week before the closing or a day before the closing. Listen, I can't do it at this number. And they've already got plans for the money. They're already sending their kids back to school, buying their grandmother a car. So that $5,000 isn't the end of the world. But sometimes they're willing to say, okay, I'll do it. Okay, fine. On something that's sketchy, you might want to set it up that way so you can hit them later with a lower number.
I agree. That's what I'm trying to do. I've got really a couple in this, out of this five that I think are really good, because one's in New York and got a fairly low mortgage. We can put about $50,000-$60,000 cash in his pocket. I think he might go for that. And the other one that I think looks real good is decent. I don't know yet, but we can get him within $10,000 of what he's asking and still make the numbers work. And so, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I agree. I may not have enough numbers going. And up till now, I probably haven't been aggressive enough following up as well. So,
yeah, the follow-up is pretty important because they sometimes forget. Yeah. Well, we had an experience recently where a bunch of people did not get the pre-sales just by an accident, my accident on my end. And when I finally sent one deal came back, they're going to do it. One guy actually sent me an email back saying, you're nowhere near my price, almost mocking me. Which is fine. You know, I got to send them out. I got to throw as much as I can against the wall to see what sticks, you know?
Absolutely.
So, I have no fear of sending them something that's incredibly low, and I love getting the responses. They think you're crazy, actually, is what they think. So I just wanted to double check. So you're doing the thing. You just got to probably get some more out, and Chris is going to go through your numbers, see what you got.
The other question I had is just in regards to competition, and this is just a question for you, Steve, on the ECOs that we just got, the two in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking with the owner, was there other people involved? Did we have to?
She had other people. Yeah. Oh, that's a relationship.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
I found out I'm a big poker player, guys, and I found out that this woman is a poker dealer. A full-time poker dealer, and she's in her 70s. And when I told her I play cards like 4 days a week, she's like, well, then I'm selling you the houses then, because we are kindred spirits or something like that, you know?
She had other investors.
She had other, well, that's my point. She had other investors that were interested, and it's the rapport I built with her and just started schmoozing her and talking. And when I call these people, I just have a conversation with them. I'm not necessarily going after the buy the house. It's all about a conversation. And as a matter of fact, I throw in where can I send the contract, you know? So I'm trying to build as much rapport as I can. Matter of fact, that reminds me of one I just had happen. Oh, a guy last night, I on the phone with him for like a half an hour because I realized he was a player and he wanted retail, like dead on retail for his property. And I can do it. I'm not going to get him down because he's a player. He knows he owns probably 15 houses around the, you know, three or four different states. So instead, I had a conversation with him about what he should do with the property to get that number. And it ended up being either list it with an agent or give it to your kids. And he appreciated my, he goes, you're the first guy I've talked to that told me this. And so it ended up that we're friends now. And when he has, I said, listen, when you have something of yours that is your lowest piece of fruit, the lowest hanging fruit, the deal, the house that you hate, that the renters are horrible, call me. He goes, absolutely. You're my guy. So it's building
wow.
that rapport, because you might not get the one today, but that guy might call you in 6 months. Remember me? And you got to pretend you remember him. And he sells you a house.
What about the house, the squatters?
Oh, that's today.
Yeah, so that house there, he went to the house with his, he went today. We won't get into the specifics of there too much, but there's squatters, there's heroin use or methamphetamine.
It's like a meth house.
Yeah.
The seller.
But before you get, yeah, so I don't want to get into the what I want to ask you is on that deal, the same, what's the circumstance around the seller? Because you're talking to the seller and you're trying to work with them to get the contract signed. But now, there's also other people, did he mention to you about other people?
The seller has a friend
right.
whose daughter needed a place to stay. The seller's out of state. So he let his friend's daughter move in, and either for no rent or very nominal rent. And over the course of however many months, I didn't realize until I showed up that she's a meth head. And seven or eight people moved in, and they won't leave. They're calling, they're screaming squatters' rights. I have my own personal way I'd like to deal with that kind of stuff. But these people are doing it legally, and it's sad. And the problem I have is now I got to wait or to do a deal in this house until we get these squatters out.
Right, but now you're talking to him. Were there other investors involved? I'm trying to get at with that deal is that so you I think it seems like you've moved him along a little bit further than other people have, right?
Yeah, I think other people. I think other people get scared of it.
Right, but I'm saying he's let you inside the house. He made arrangements for you to get inside,
mm-hmm.
and I think it comes down to also a key part of that is the relationship. You know, building the relationship with the seller, making them feel comfortable with you, and making them think, you know what, you know, maybe Steve can help me fix this problem. And I think that's the reason why he...
Yeah, the conversation when he told me these people were staying there and I realized what the situation was, I made him feel comfortable in the fact that I've had people removed from properties before, and I have.
Yeah.
Whether it's by my own hand or legally. And I won't stand for that. So what all this seller wants to do, he's got, you know, a situation, and a lot of sellers is this way. They got a situation where they have people in the house they can't do anything with, and they just want the money. They want to be done with it. So
yep.
every situation is handleable. It's just a function of either money or time.
Right.
So
yep.
if I go in and tell the guy, listen, do it to me, sell it to me. As a matter of fact, I wrote on the contract, the timeline starts on my contract when the people move out. So his attorney called me the next day to ask about that clause. And the attorney, you know, it's always scary to get a call from an attorney, but I told him, here's the deal. And he agreed with me. Because there's squatters there, and the attorney's now calling me back because I'm the guy that's going to take this property off both their hands when they figure out the squatter situation.
Right. So you're the
yep.
So I'm the go-to guy. So I say people never give away their equity. So part of it, and this is just a conversation that we're having, and it applies to everyone here. But sometimes people say, "Well, gee, why would somebody give you their house away? Why would somebody discount it, et cetera?" And what they really are doing is they're trading their equity for something else. It
right.
could be convenience. It could be the fact that you're fixing a problem that they can't fix for themselves, et cetera, et cetera. And in that scenario, you're the person coming in to help them and their situation. And so that's the positioning always that always helps is that, hey, you know, you got a problem, you got a situation, I'm here to help you solve it. And I think that for the most part, I think of it, this is you and I were having a conversation earlier, Steve, about your whole Comcast issue, right?
Yeah.
And I think about the fact that, you know, most people are difficult. Like when you talk to someone, like sometimes, you know, I've been making some repairs to my house and you talk to vendors and some of them are just really horrible to deal with. You know, there's no customer service, there's no pleasantry, nothing at all. And so whenever you come across that way, you don't even have to do anything out of the ordinary except to just be nice and be cordial and just offer help and you're head and shoulders above everybody else. You know, so
I think especially in the state really,
especially in Florida. So, well, you know what I'll do, Haynes, is that I'll look over your campaign. Give me a day. I'll look it over. I'll
right.
give you an email. with some details, I find, and we'll see what we can do as far as figuring things out and tweaking things a bit to help you get better results.
Fantastic. Appreciate it.
Perfect. Thanks for being on the call. Let's see. I believe this is Art. Art.
Hello.
Hello. Greetings, Art. How are you?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm great. I would say any day above ground is a great day, so today qualified.
Yeah, we're not pushing up tulips. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm hoping tomorrow will be the same.
Yeah, a couple questions. Just some things that I'm coming across that, you know, just, I guess, really just going through my learning curve on just trying to how to avoid them. One, I know that when I'm using your contracts in the back office, you know, that for my sales agreements.
Right.
And a lot of times I'm not able to get the deal bought in that specified time frame. So I'm wondering if there is another, or how do you go about extending the time frame on that contract? Or do you just do another one?
Well, I mean,
you mean legally?
Well, just to make sure I understand, you put a contract, property in a contract, you have 2 weeks. 2 weeks passes by and you haven't sold it. You still want to try to sell it, and you might need another week or so in order to get the deal to be able to get it sold. But now technically you're out of contract. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So, you know, a couple things. I'll have you chime in. But you have a two-week inspection period. So, by the way, I have to preface this by saying I'm not an attorney. It says 2 weeks for us to be able, huh?
What's
15 business days. So let's say 15 business days, which is for us to get the property inspected, because the contract is contingent on the property inspection. And let's say 15 business days, those are 21 days. So it's actually 21 days. Now, let's say that in a normal contract, let's just forget about our stuff, but let's say if I was a regular consumer, I put $10,000 deposit on the house. Let's say I'm going to this deal, and I'm going to inspect it for 10 days. And after the 10-day passes, then at that point, then I'm all in, because if I were to back out, I'm going to lose my $10,000, right? So there's a repercussion, you know, there's something there that's going to be painful to me. However, in our contract, when we put these on the contract, the deposit is due after the inspection period. And so technically, even if it goes after 10 days, and I'll have Steve chime in because he's really good at this, you know, we're having a back and forth with the seller and telling them, hey, we're still working on things. We got it almost done. We're just trying to get it approved, et cetera, et cetera. At that point, if we have kind of a verbal agreement with the seller, we'll still continue to go with it.
It's not a matter of getting them to re-sign anything.
Yeah.
It's a relationship. And as long as I keep in contact with them every other day minimum or every day, it's tough every day because you can't tell them the same line every day that we're working on this and working on that. But you just need, like, a lot of valid excuses, I guess we'll call them. We blame the title company a lot. We blame the county. One area in there's a place where we do our business that it takes 3 weeks just to get the title search back.
Right.
Which is typically done in within a week. So I could use that one as an excuse. But it's not a matter of getting them to re-sign. And, you know, our deposit is, what, $100?
Yeah, $100. So.
$100. So guess what? If they have an issue, here's $100. Have a nice
yeah, but
day.
We don't even put up the deposit.
I never put up
yeah,
$100.
So.
I mean, it's literally, it's I guess, there. But people don't ask for it. I don't remember the last time we had to get
it. I mean, to go back to your question, let's say the inspection period has passed. You know, we would tell them, you know, our conversation is, hey, we're still working on this. We're going to have it hopefully approved in the next few days. And as long as you keep that line of communication open and they're in agreement with you, then I would just roll with it and try to see if you can continue selling it. The only thing would be that all of a sudden, if it takes you 3 weeks to sell it, you know, you should have if your closing time period is 30 business days, which is actually 45 days. You got to now, once you sell it, now you got to gauge, okay, do I have enough time to run the title work and to be able to get it closed? If you don't have enough time, once after you sell it, to run title and be able to get it closed, at that point, then maybe it might be beneficial to get an extension, wouldn't it?
Possibly, but what I like, and we haven't gotten an extension yet, I don't think, on anything.
No.
Because what I typically do, I have a really good relationship with my title company, and two of the girls specifically that do all of our stuff. And there's no time I haven't called them and said, do me a favor, call. I haven't even given them the paperwork yet to do the deal. I might send them the contract and to run the title work and say, do me a favor, call this guy today so we get the call from somebody other than me telling him a story about why it's taking so long. And they'll do that for me. So, and it's not like they're making stuff up. They just got the paperwork. They don't mention that they just got the paperwork. But, you know, they're working on, well, actually, sir, we're waiting for this to come back. As soon as we get that, then this happens. And they speak in title speak, which I don't speak in, and that is everything takes a couple days.
Yeah.
So what happens is they got the seller then has me talking to them on one day, the title company go talking to them the next day, tell them relatively the same thing, and all it comes down to is it's going to take a few more days. And then once it happens, the excitement in the seller's voice when I call them or the title girl calls them and says, guess what, guys, we're closing 2 weeks from Tuesday. They're so excited. And it's just a matter of extending it out verbally. We've been very successful in that. It might be the fact that, and you guys, I've never even thought about this, but I think it has a lot to do with the title company. They're like part of our company.
Right.
They literally, I'll call and say, please do this for me. And they go, okay, what's the phone number? And they call the number and give the guy your typical title company, you know, speech, line of stuff. And that extends it out.
Yeah.
And what I get worried is when I'm talking to somebody and it sounds like, because they never really tell you, they might even tell you, I got somebody else that wants to buy this. And then you say, well, we're in a contract and, you know, yada, yada. But you don't want to get legalese on them because that's when they get legalese. As long as you, and that makes it, that's the word I made up just now. As long as you are communicating, being friendly, bringing them information that they need, telling them everything's going to work out, they're okay typically. If they're the kind of people that, you know, I've had lawyers call me, and yes, we have had to release a couple deals in the past because I might have put a lien on it or something.
Yeah, we could have. I mean, does that help? Is that question?
Yeah, no, what you're saying is everything that I've been doing, so I just thought there might have been something that I was missing. I'm always in communication with these. I mean, I've just got a deal on finally under contract I've been working on for 6 months, you know. But I've been talking to the owner and telling her, you know, this fell through, that fell through, you know, and she's okay with it. So,
right.
Yeah, that's fine. I just thought maybe there was something else that I was missing or you know, that I wasn't doing. But, yeah, okay, everything you're saying I do, so I'm good. You know, that's fine. Let's see, what else? I forgot.
By the way, just to add to that, if they want to get out of it, they can.
Yeah, no, I there's some deals that I, very few, but some that I just tell them, fine, go list it with a realtor because it's so overpriced, that,
right.
You know, it's just not worth my time anymore. You know, I gave it a shot, I worked it, and, you know, it was the same results, time and time again. You know, you want $70,000, it's worth $40,000. No kidding.
Right.
You know?
I mean, even if the price is right, they can get out of it. The time frame's up, they're out. But coincidentally, that's to our benefit as well, because the way we have contracts is if we want to get out, we're out. It's very easy, you know?
Right.
So we got to play the game to leave ourselves open to leave if we want to, you know? It's just a bad matter of open communication and being honest, but being selectively honest, I guess.
Well, I differ than what you said on certain things. I mean, sometimes I just flat out tell them my investors you know, got brain freeze and, you know, they ran out of money temporarily until they're selling another property. And, you know, as soon as that happens, you know, we'll be back in the game. But in the meantime, I'm going to market it on Craigslist. I just tell them what I'm doing. And as long as they understand that, they're fine with it.
Yeah, I would say it's a combination of whatever works and whatever you're comfortable with. The intersection of those two things, right? And that's exactly what you just said.
Okay. All right, good. The other thing I wanted to ask, and Gary's not here, is I've got these two properties that this guy wants to buy on terms, and we had a brief conversation, but then he told me he was going to be away in Maui, so I didn't know.
Well, he
keeps putting these people off because,
I think he wanted, unless I saw, because I saw the back and forth between you and Gary, I think he wanted to see if you could send him. He's in Maui, but it's kind of a working vacation. So he works in the mornings because they're so. So I would say he could still get you what you need. I think he wanted a copy of the contract that you're. He wanted a copy of the paperwork that he can modify and put in the right clauses, or.
Well, I just told him. Yeah, I responded back. I told him I was using the contract that we have in REI Vault. I didn't know if that was not good enough. I never got a response back from him, so I don't know.
But you know what I'll do, Art, that when we get off the phone call, let me relook at the ticket and get a clarification. Let me see. I'll ping him and make sure that he replies. It may have been a miscommunication because I think that he was going to go ahead and get something else, that he needed something else from me, but I could be mistaken. I'll follow up with him when we get off this call.
That's fine. I just, you know, this one lady, she's chomping at the bit. She bid on it. You know, she took the terms, and now I just need to know how to cover my ass. You know, how do I get paid? That's really what I'm concerned about. You know, how do I get this guy to buy me out, buy my contract out, or whatever the heck it is, so that I can get my fee and let him deal with my borrower, my seller. Sorry.
Yeah, typically in my experience, when anything gets complicated, I usually prefer a handoff. So in other words, you know, where, hey, you know, it's getting kind of hairy, you know, just let's work something out. You put the deal together, I get paid. Or whatever the case or arrangement you want to make, and if they want to go ahead and do brain surgery, I would rather not do brain surgery.
Right. No, and I agree. I want them to buy me out and let them deal with my seller. That's fine. I don't care. I'm not one to set up terms. You know, I did mortgages for 25 years. I know what amortization's all about. So. It's just a matter of, you know, getting this done in writing so that I can move on. That's all.
Well, just as I have you on the phone real quick before you get off, you wanted to buy our contract, the cancellation docs. Gary said the cancellation docs I use are for an option agreement. What you need is you need a buyout. You said you asked Gary for a buyout contract. When you say a buyout contract, meaning where the investor is going to pay you a fee for giving them the deals, right?
Correct.
Now, who's going to set up the financing and all the complicated stuff? Is that going to be them or you?
No, the investor. He's going to do all that.
So really what you need, though, is it sounds to me like what you need is a fee agreement, isn't it?
That's what I use. I mean, I use broker fee disclosures and agreements for years. I mean, that's how I got paid, you know. They signed my broker fee agreement. You know, they're agreeing to pay me, you know, 2%, 3% on, you know, the proceeds on the...
You're looking to get a fee paid at the time that he... Like, say, they work out the deal with the seller, they get all the contracts signed, and are you going to get paid a flat fee or going to pay a residual fee based on the ongoing financing term?
I want a flat fee. I want out. I don't want anything to do with a monthly.
So, I mean, why would not, and I'm just asking, and again, I don't know, you know, the fancy, the ninja contracts that Gary does, but Why would this not be kind of, would this fall under the umbrella of a kind of a quasi-partnership agreement where you would sign an agreement that once they, once they close, they're going to transfer title or they're going to take the property and keep the title under the seller's name? Do you know?
He said he could do it either way. That was another question I asked because I don't know this guy from, you know, the man in the moon, if he's good for his monthly payments or what. But so he said if, you know, she's not comfortable, you know, he could leave her on title. I'm like, fine.
I mean, I would say it could be a partnership agreement. The way I would do it, the simplest way, and I have one, I can send you one. If we don't have it in REIVO, we have one that we use all the time where, you know, whenever we do a deal, let's say we got another wholesaler that sells a deal, and we say, hey, once we close on it, we'll pay you X amount from our assignment fee, and that's your deal. It's kind of the same thing. You do that with your other investor. You say, hey, once you consummate the deal with the other seller, and let's say that deal becomes consummated once him and the seller come to an agreement and sign the paperwork, then you get X fee within X number of days after that happening. And to me, that seems like the simplest way to do it.
Okay.
Would that make sense to you? Does that make sense?
No. I guess.
Because in essence, what you're doing is you're bringing him the deal. And you're saying to him, take over the deal. I know you want to do a variety of different things with this.
Right.
And if you're able to do what you're going to do with the seller, then I want X amount of money for me. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, that's exactly what I want.
Okay. So it really becomes a partnership. It's kind of a partnership / fee agreement that
okay.
You're going to give them this deal. And so I'll send you, here's what I would say is I'll send you the doc that I use with the other wholesalers. And then I think really that's all you need. And if you want to write it up, and send it in and I'll review it, but I think that's also all that's required.
Okay.
Because you don't, I think Gary misconstrued it as if you already, do you have a contract with the seller now or no?
Yes. Oh, it's expired, but, you know, we've been, again, that's a non-factor. She just wants, you know, I told her what this guy was offering and she's all over it.
Yeah.
So
you know, I that's easy to craft. So I will, you know what I would do is I'll send you the agreement. And then I'll give you a bullet point on what I think the agreement should be. And if you want to write it up real quick, I'll review it. And then I think that's all you would need in order to make sure that, hey, you have an understanding with the other guy and he's going to pay you.
Right. That's perfect. The simpler, the better. I just want, I want it to move forward, get paid, and move on.
Okay. So when I get off the phone, I will I'll reply to that ticket of yours by attaching the document.
Okay.
And a few bullet points.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. And I'll review it when you do it. If you want to shoot it over, reply back to that same ticket, attach it, and I'll review it, and then you should be good to go.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. So, again, guys, I know we're 3:41, so I'm not sure if anybody has any other questions or comments. You can hit *5. To raise your hand, and *5 again to lower your hand if you wanted to lower it. Let's see here. I believe this is Justin Lee.
It is indeed.
It is indeed. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, thanks. Question. Are you aware that I got the training email that you sent out last week, and I'm getting on an airplane this afternoon and wanted to listen to it while I'm on the plane. Are you aware that inside Kajabi this stuff is not downloadable?
That's interesting. I don't know. I didn't know that was the case or not.
So just something that you could maybe possibly look into. And then my only other question was just following up on a couple...
Which was the file that you were trying to, you wanted to listen to something offline. Which one was that?
That was the one that you sent out last week, the optimizing your acquisitions and virtual assistants.
Oh, yes. Okay. Let me look at that, and I'll send you. I'll shoot you an email on that.
Okay. And then the other thing was just following up on some of the things that we've talked about over the past few weeks or so. Are you guys planning on having any special and or specific additional training for us to participate in with respect to acquisitions?
With respect to acquisitions, you mean in terms of, I know you and I had a combo back and forth with regards to scripts and dialogues, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you mean, like a sales training?
Correct.
Yeah, that's a good question. I wish I had Gary here. That's one of the items that we, him and I, have discussed. That's a good question. So in other words, I know him. I know we had this discussion a couple of days ago about us having a meetup. So not necessarily on a particular topic, but more kind of a meetup to for people to come and then they'd be able to discuss what topics or things, items they need help with, and then other people in the group to be able to chime in with respect to what they're doing. So it's not like an official training per se, I think, maybe for what you're asking, but rather more of a mastermind type of approach.
I'm just wondering, well, you've got any other stuff coming down the pike, or is it being investigated or not so much? Or
yeah, well, we're thinking about something in Dallas, actually. I'm not sure how feasible that is for you, but we're thinking about something in Dallas just because Dallas seems to be kind of a central hub that everybody can usually get to one flight without having to take two flights. And I think we might, I have to talk to Gary, but I think we were going to mention something. He was supposed to be on the call today, but we may either mention something on the next call or we may send out an email sometime this week with regards to that. I have to touch base with him on that. But we were thinking something in Dallas, something more of a mastermind meetup where perhaps just everybody, you know, can come to the table and it'd be more of discussing items and allowing the group and other people in the group that are also successful investors being able to give advice, et cetera, on what's working for them and doing it that way versus an official training of, hey, here's a syllabus and here's what we're going to be discussing, et cetera. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. I'll ping you on that, too. I've got to talk to Gary later today. I will let everybody know, obviously, but... Cool. All right, so hold on a second. I have Alabama. Hello, you're unmuted. Who's this?
From Alabama.
I'm sorry, repeat again. Your phone broke out. Hello, anybody? 654-0000. Can you hear her? Excuse me. All right, you might have to dial back in. 654-0000. I'll have you unmuted, but I cannot hear you. Sounds like your phone is breaking out. Let's New York. Can you hear me? Something going on here? Hello, can you guys hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Who's this?
How you doing? It's Marty from New York.
Hey, Marty. How are you?
How are you? Quick question. You had mentioned a couple months ago about setting up a Facebook page. Did that ever materialize?
No, it did not materialize. Give me a second. We just hired someone, which I'm typing up. You know what I would love to do is this. We just had somebody come on board last week to help us with these kind of things. And we would love to be able to have, we'd love to expedite that. So if anybody is open to helping us, we'd like to set it up and have everyone be able to invite who's in the group, Aria Gold. It would help us if we had a couple of people that would help and maybe moderate and help and assist us in that. Not necessarily you, Marty. I'm not saying if you wanted to, I'm not putting you on the spot, but I would ask if anybody is interested in helping us with that. We'll set it up and everything else, but just kind of helping us as far as administering it and making sure that the wheels don't fall off when it comes to that. And just being interactive in there. If you could send an email to support@salescleanlabs.com and put in the subject line Facebook group and just put in there that, hey, I'd love to participate on that. And I don't mean, let me just rephrase that. When I say participate, I don't mean, I know everybody wants to participate, but I'm talking about if you have experience in administering Facebook groups and kind of making sure that things go the way they should in there. Then if you could raise your hand and say, hey, yeah, I'm definitely willing to chip in, and that would help and expedite that. And I already notified Adrian and Kat and Bo about this. They're on the call here as well, so they'll be able to help us set that up. So the answer to your question is yes, Marty, and thank you for bringing that up again. And I just made a note of it here to make sure that we put that on the fast track to get that up and running. So if anybody is interested in helping us out, let us know. You still there, Marty?
Yes, that's great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. All right, you're back, hey. Alabama.
Hey, Chris, this is Dave. Can you hear me now?
I can. You sound, try it again. Let's give it a shot. Your connection seems tough.
I'm actually in route to an appointment today, so I don't have the best connection. I'm hoping
okay.
it'll talk.
I can hear you.
I have an assistant. He's actually not in virtual. He's helping me with some rehab and some other things, and he's very interested in getting involved in helping me with the admin on working with Podio, and I'm wondering if there's a punch list or a quick start training, or do I just walk him through the same start that we would all use? What's your advice on how to get somebody up to speed as quick as possible?
Well, I'm not sure how long ago you looked at the Podio training, but we just recently redid the training. Actually, restructured training.
I just went on there this morning, yes. I didn't dig into it very deep, though.
So what I would have him do is just under the Podio training, under the seller module, all those videos in there are all new from a week and a half ago that I created.
Okay.
And
okay.
So what I would do is I would have him go through that material. The videos, although there are a lot of videos, they tend to be short, and they just deal with that one specific item, whatever the video is about. So you can probably get them in about an hour. And then I would have him... so that's number one, Podio. I would have them listen to the call on the training, additional training section. I would have them listen to two things. Number one is I would have them listen to the objection handling course that's there that I created. So that's a really good course that talks through the scripts and the dialogues and the conversations with the sellers, if that's something that he would need help with. And then the other one would be the optimizing your sales force. I recorded a call with Steve Lamb, myself, and another one of our clients about how to effectively work, you know, how he's working, how Steve is working with our virtual assistant. And although that's not specifically for you the case, it is a kind of give you a better understanding of how to kind of you and him work together to kind of you could be in sync with each other and best and get the best output out of that in working in that way. So that's kind of the three things I would focus on. And with that would get him up to speed pretty quickly.
That sounds good. That's what I was wondering, if we had some quick directives for somebody that was fairly new to it. He's had some experience in sales, but this is kind of a new area.
Yeah, no, that would definitely get him, I would say, those three items. The Podio, so he knows how to work around the lead system. The My Objection Handling course, so he'll know, you know, what to say to sellers, et cetera. And then the last thing would be the Optimizing Your Salesforce call that I did with Steve Lamb. Those three items there would be great. I think the three things I would focus on.
That sounds good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you. All right. So I'll give one last call and see if anybody else has any questions. If anybody has a comment, as always, or anything. Oh, you know, I want to make this comment for those of you that are on the call here, anybody listening in. We had a comment last week that somebody said that they thought the call quality on this conference line was really poor. It could have been them, but I'm not listening to the calls, obviously, because I'm the one talking. So, if you find, I'd just be curious if anybody has a comment. If you guys are okay with it, fine. But if maybe you guys have been biting your lips and thinking, man, this call quality is horrible. And now when I mention that, you say, yeah, that is correct. Send an email to suggestionbox@reivault.com, suggestionbox@reivault.com. And if that is the case, then we will find another provider. To make sure that people don't, you know, you guys don't have that problem or issue. So let us know. Suggestionbox@reivault.com. And I know, Bo, you're listening to this call. So if we get a lot of those in, then we might have to see what we can find as an alternative vendor for these calls, just to make sure that we can get the best quality possible. So he just pinged me. With that being said, I want to thank everybody for being in the calls tonight. You know, sometimes we do the best we can to answer questions and get you the answers. Sometimes we don't know the answers, and so we try to find the answers. And so, as with the first caller, which is Haynes, and he's experiencing some troubles with his campaign, and so he wants to get some input so we can give input as best we can, just in general, but sometimes it necessitates us going in and looking at things more closely. So I just say that in general, that, you know, we want your success, and so if you're experiencing any issues, any problems, anything whatsoever, just let us know. We're more than happy to troubleshoot and try to find a solution. So I want to thank everybody for being on the call, and I wish everybody a great day, and we'll talk next week.